Good morning, everyone. God's message this morning comes from Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. This is the word of God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are the God of truth, that rather than turning away from us, you saw fit to not only reveal yourself to us, but to give us the free gift of salvation through the perfect gospel. It is beyond words, Father, what you have done. It came at a high cost, the death of your Son on the cross, his burial and resurrection, and all so that we could have a relationship with you on this earth and an eternity with you in heaven. I pray, Father, that this message be your message and that it be a clear message. I would ask that you help us to understand what you have written in your word, that our time of worship here this morning would be pleasing in your sight. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Happy Veterans Day. To all of those that have served, we thank you for your sacrifice for our country. This morning, we are going to be going through this passage. And contrary to what was written in the bulletin, I want us to take away from it the fact that there is one gospel and one gospel only. There is only one God and one God only in three persons. Now everybody's checking their bulletin. How we communicate in the office, it was Friday. Holly asked me what I was preaching on. If I had a title, I gave her the scripture reference and then I shouted, "There is only one gospel." She was in the other room and obviously heard "there is only one God." Both are true statements, so don't knock Holly for my inability to get up out of my chair and go tell her what I was preaching. That's on me. The gospel from God is true, and we must accept no substitutes. There are false teachers that will attempt to lead us astray by changing the truth of God's message. And we must be constantly vigilant to ensure that we are following the one true gospel and not a false one. Paul was writing to the churches of Galatia in an attempt to counter Judaizing false teachers who were presenting ideas that were contrary to the core New Testament doctrine, the teaching of justification by faith. In essence, what they were teaching was that if you were a Gentile, in order to be saved, you must first convert to Judaism, which would entail submitting to Mosaic law before you would be able to become a Christian. This is heresy because the Bible does not teach us that. Paul wrote to defend what had been preached to them concerning the gospel of Christ and to warn those in Galatia of the very serious and disastrous consequences of turning away from the essential doctrine of justification by faith. It is interesting to note that this is the only epistle that Paul wrote in the canon that does not praise its readers. This is how serious and how concerned Paul was about confronting the rebellion towards the truth of the gospel. The fact that these believers had turned from God, had turned from the truth to a lie. So in verse 6 he writes, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel." Paul here is concerned with their stability in the gospel, or their perceived lack of stability. He had preached to them the true gospel. They had accepted it as truth and professed belief in Christ. A short time afterwards, the Judaizing false teachers had come in and were teaching them something contrary to what Paul had taught them. These believers had been well fortified in the doctrine of the true gospel through Paul, and then had suddenly turned from it. And Paul was simply astonished that they would turn and turn so quickly. They had been given the truth by God through Paul. God, who had called them into the enjoyment and fullness of God's grace through Christ, not by anything that they had done to earn it, or who their parents were, or their individual merit, but rather by the free grace and favor of God in Christ. In 2 Timothy 1:9 we read, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." There is so much involved in the call to and the gift of salvation. One of the most desirable is that a believer is called into a relationship with his Creator. Those believers in the churches of Galatia, and us by extension, cannot be removed from the unchanging God. Paul is dealing with believers. They can turn from God, but God will never turn from them or from us, which is a tremendous assurance that we have. However, that is not a license to live our lives any way we wish, as some would believe. What those churches in Galatia were doing by following a false teacher. What Paul is dealing with is the fact that they have been led away from the true doctrine of the gospel. If they were called, as Paul truly believes that they were, this lapse into embracing that which was contrary to God and His gospel would not be permanent. He is therefore attempting to gently guide them back from error to truth. He is not disciplining them so much as clearly and consciously pointing out the error of the false teachings in this other gospel, which, as we will see, is not really a gospel at all. The other gospel was different from and so unlike that which had been preached to them by Paul. The Judaizers' attempt to change the gospel by adding ceremonies and standards from the Old Testament as a necessary requirement for salvation. This is contrary to the gospel of Christ, which we all know teaches by grace alone, which comes from God, through faith alone, which comes from God, in Christ alone, also from God. That is all what God has done in extending the free gift of salvation through Christ. Our duty, our obligation, our part in it is to accept that gift. That is what we were called and equipped by God to do. What the false teachers were proclaiming led away from this biblical truth regarding the understanding of salvation and how one is granted salvation. The false doctrine attempted to undermine that precious grace of Christ. In 7, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Paul is referencing back here to when he referred to the false teachings as a different gospel. Paul called it a different gospel only to drive home the point that the Judaizers were changing the one true gospel in an attempt to circumvent or replace it. There is only one gospel that came from God. One and one alone. Any attempt to alter that by adding or taking away from it turns it into something that is not the gospel at all. There is not another gospel to be had, only that which has been given by God. So when he writes, which is not another, he is talking about the gospel and how there is not another gospel, but there are some who trouble you and want to alter the one true gospel of Christ. The word in the Greek that Paul uses for trouble means to agitate or shake up like a washing machine would, to disturb or to unnerve. The use here is in reference to the deep emotional disturbance that the Galatians were no doubt experiencing. They were believers and they had turned from God. They had turned from God's truth to something that was not God's truth. As a believer, when we have sinned and have not confessed that sin to God in repentance, we have no peace. We lose sleep. We are anything but calm and relaxed as we should be. We are troubled, agitated, shaken up. These believers made an error. If you have been a Christian for any length of time, you have been exposed to false teachings, unfortunately. Usually, flags should start popping up. And this is the Holy Spirit waving us off. This is the Holy Spirit informing us, hold on a second, this is contrary to the Word and the will of God. For whatever reason, those in Galatia ignored those warnings and proceeded on, though it surely troubled them. They had believed the gospel of Christ, but when the false teachers had come along and added to it, changed it, perverted it, instead of throwing these false teachers out, they embraced this heresy. The gospel that had come from God had been changed and presented and believed as truth, even though it was not truth. And in doing so, they had sinned. Many of you know I'm currently struggling through Systematic Theology 1. In corresponding with other students in the class, I have found that I am not alone in my struggles. The problem that I am having is that not all of the material that I am presented with in this class squares with the Holy Word of God. I am being presented with theories and ideas and beliefs that are true, but some that are not true, in order to have, I guess, the full picture of what I might encounter as a pastor. And I find myself praying for guidance and wisdom often. At times it is a bit confusing and overwhelming. So it is a process really of learning what I need to know to pass the class, while at the same time separating the wheat from the chaff, the truth from the error. Another problem is that there is a lot of wheat and a lot of chaff to go through. Pastor Don has been extremely helpful, and I am grateful for that assistance. But this is often the process when we're dealing with things that we don't fully understand. Passages in the Bible that we don't fully understand. We pray for understanding. We pray for guidance. We pray for wisdom. We talk to one another. We seek help from our pastor. The gospel, however, is very clear. Now, we have the benefit of the New Testament, and those believers in Galatia did not, with the exception of Paul's letter to them. One of the things that I was presented with in this class that I had deep down always known to be true, but had never really stopped to think about, is the thought, the idea that if you take away from or try to add to God, then what you are looking at or talking about is not God. If someone were to say to you, let's talk about God, and then turned around and said, God tempted me to sin, well, they are not talking about God. Because the Bible clearly states that God tempts no one to sin. The same can be said regarding adding to or taking away from the Word of God, adding or taking away from God's gospel. You cannot change the gospel and call it the gospel. You cannot take something that God has given and substitute anything else in or take anything away from it. But that is what the false teachers had been trying to do. One does not need to convert to Judaism to receive the free gift of salvation in Christ. It was free to believers because Christ paid for it on the cross. They were trying to change the gospel into what essentially amounted to a works-based salvation. And there is no such gospel. There is one gospel and one Savior, Christ Jesus. When we were lost, we were in a most desperate situation because there was nothing we could do aside from believing in Christ. It was God who gave us His grace and gives us our faith. God works first, and then we have our part in it. But only after God has worked. Nothing we do earns salvation. We will never be good enough. Participating in the Lord's table or getting baptized does not save us. It is only God. That is what makes what Christ did upon the cross and what God did in sending Him and resurrecting Him so very precious. God is sovereign over our salvation. If we are in charge, then it is not salvation. Furthermore, God is sovereign over His gospel. What the false teachers were presenting to those believers did not have the solid peace and joy of the true gospel. The false doctrine was raising disputes and controversies among the brethren, raising doubts. They had no assurance in their salvation. No joy, no peace, because what they believed had not come from God, but from man. God inspired the words that Paul wrote through the Holy Spirit to them. God protects His Word. The gospel, like God, does not move. It does not change. The entire Word of God does not change. God, the entirety of His Word, which also contains the gospel, will remain despite any and all opposition. Paul is handling the Galatians in this epistle with a very soft touch. While he is clearly surprised that they have taken up these false teachings, he is attempting to turn them back to the truth. Paul knew that there were those out there that were challenging his preaching, standing in defiance to what God had clearly laid out. But the tone of the epistle is one more of a restorative nature than that of hellfire, brimstone, and punishment. Paul was using the most persuasive thing there was, the truth. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Let me read that again. But even if we or any angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Paul is accomplishing so much in this single verse. He first asserts the purity and the truth, the perfection of the gospel. He is also deterring others from giving or receiving a false gospel. Even though we know there is little chance that Paul or an angel from heaven would preach a false doctrine, but let's say hypothetically, if Paul were to suddenly show up preaching a works-based salvation, or even an angel appeared from the Lord and began spouting false teachings, let them be accursed. If something is accursed, then it is something that is bound for destruction, a divine curse, the penalty of God's wrath be upon them. God's desire is for all to be saved, though not all will. We cannot thwart the plan of God. We are just not that powerful. But we can be disobedient to the will of God. And one of the ways is by proclaiming something as gospel that is not the gospel, in an attempt to turn God's children away from Him. As Christians, we need to make sure that what is preached to us or taught to us is biblical, that it is from God and not from man. It has to come from God. Now, commentaries can be a helpful tool, but they can also lead us into error. We need to be on guard against that. We need discernment. We need to recognize that while there are great commentators out there, they are prone to error just like we are. Always, always, always look to the Word of God, recognizing that it is the only source that is inerrant. Everything else should be taken with a grain of salt, a little skepticism. But the Bible is our authority. It is the Word of God. We must have a heart and a desire to want to know what God has for us in His Word, what He has revealed to us in His Word. If we have a heart to know the truth and the indwelling Holy Spirit, then we have everything we need. Our focus should be on getting it right. But what a blessing that we have in an omniscient God that knows us better than we know ourselves, and the Holy Spirit as our guide. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Paul restates what he has said in the previous verse with a slight variation, but an important one. Anytime anything is written in the Bible, it is important. Anytime anything is repeated in the Bible, it is very important. The believers had not only been preached the gospel of Christ, but they had received it. They had embraced it. This is a reminder that what they had professed to be true, and not so long ago, they had now turned away from. Those who have taught error are accursed, set up for the wrath of God's destruction. Those that have embraced something that is false, so too. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Paul, in my opinion here, is asking two very rhetorical questions. At least I think they would be seen as rhetorical if anybody knew Paul when Paul was alive, or we know Paul today through his writings. Do I persuade men or God? God had established the true gospel, and now they are trying to replace it with a false one. Paul's question is, well, do I persuade to the truth sinful man who is clearly in error, or an all-powerful, all-knowing God who not only created the world, but established what is and is not truth? You don't get much more rhetorical than that. Paul is stating that he is writing this in order to persuade them, because God had already given them the truth. You are not going to persuade God to do anything. God does not change. The one true gospel that they had turned away from does not change. Prior to his Damascus Road experience, Paul had sought to please men. After God had called him, Paul devoted his life to pleasing God and following Christ. Paul set out to please God despite imprisonment, floggings, being beaten with rods, pelted with stones, being shipwrecked, adrift at sea, facing the elements, hunger and thirst, and having his life in constant peril from those that opposed God. He knew that he was serving the one true God. He was an apostle, a bondservant of Christ, a slave to Christ. And as we know from Matthew 6:24, one cannot serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Paul knew who he was serving. So what are we going to do with this? First, we need to see this as a reminder that we belong to the one true God, and His is the one true gospel. We have assurance in Him, in the free gift of our salvation that He has called us to, and the fact that He will never change. The promise and assurance of our salvation will never change. What a blessing. We need to be aware that even in our day and age, there are false teachers. And we need to not only be wary of them, but to flee from them once they are recognized for what they are. What they are is accursed, set up for destruction, and the wrath of God is upon them. We need to know, constantly remind ourselves that we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, and the inerrant Bible. God breathed, God inspired, at our disposal, at our fingertips in this day and age. The Bible is our authority, and we can use it along with the Holy Spirit to root out false teachings, to root out false beliefs that we may hold. We need to approach everything in life with a strong, heartfelt desire to honor and glorify God and to truly know Him, recognizing that He will never change, and neither will His promise. Again, what a blessing. We need, to the best of our abilities, with everything that God has given us, aim our lives at a life like Paul's, completely dedicated to God. We need to aim our lives at a life like Jesus's, desiring and doing only the Father's will. Our purpose for being here is honoring and glorifying God, and God alone, because He is God and we belong to Him. May the Lord bless us. Lloyd is going to close in prayer. The instructions that I were given from Marcia were that if you are signed up for the dinner, you may go directly down and be seated. There will be a short message.